Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to this special edition of My Crazy Office. Today, we have the honor and the pleasure of Holland Haas with us, speaker, author, business consultant. She is a digital detox and human connection expert. And this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. I'm just going to read a brief excerpt from her bio. Holland Haas is the country's leading expert on creating greater human connection in the digital age. As an author, Holland made global headlines with Consciously Connecting, A Simple Process to Reconnect in a Disconnected World, and was quickly acknowledged for her groundbreaking ideas. Hay House recognized Holland as one of the 100 global thought leaders, along with Deepak Chopra, Suzy Orman, and Gabby Bernstein. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So the thing that I had said was near and dear to my heart, and actually something that I've been studying in my mental health and psychology studies, has to do with this notion of screen addiction in the digital age. And one thing I just wanted to know regarding, because I imagine you come to this kind of a topic through your own personal journey as well, what led you to research the subject of connectivity in this digital age?
Well, to make a long story short, I was late to the smartphone revolution. Uh-huh. I didn't want to give up my flip phone until I lost it and walked into a Verizon and said, I would like a new phone. Uh-huh. And he said, great. And then I said, where are the flip phones? And he looked at me like I had six heads. He was like, there aren't any anymore, lady. Within less than 48 hours, I was nearly hit by a taxi. Because I was doing what so many of us do, which is scrolling and trolling and looking at emails,
right,
and all of which can wait until later.
Right.
And literally when I looked up, I was a couple of feet from being hit by a taxi, and he was obviously doing the same thing because he'd come out of his lane.
Right.
I was out of my lane, and we both kind of had this moment of deer in headlights, and he swerved, and thank goodness there wasn't another car to his left, or that would have been a very different life moving forward. So because of that, I realized, hey, I've been really focused. I'm someone mm-hmm. who can concentrate easily. I'm someone who can prioritize. And like 2 days later, I was really a hot mess, and my brain just felt scrambled.
Interesting.
And that's how quickly we can shift those neural pathways with technology.
Yes. So that's, I love it. That's your experience that then leads to this investigation of what is going on here and how is it affecting us. You have said that technology is the greatest 21st century addiction. How would you define that addiction?
Well, when we think about addiction, mm-hmm. what is addiction to anything? And what drives us, what then motivates us, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's sex, what food, it can be anything. And it's when our behavior starts to change. It's when we sacrifice relationships. It's when we're losing our time or potentially our resources.
Right.
And that is what is happening with technology. We are sacrificing relationships.
Uh-huh.
I think we all witness where we go out to dinner and there can be three people at a table. I was just out the other night with my husband, there were five people at a table, and I poked him. I said, look, everybody's on their devices.
Yeah.
So in the workplace as well, we go to meetings, and we're all on our devices, and we're not taking notes at meetings. We're checking our Facebook, and we're answering emails.
Well, that is another aspect of addiction, isn't it, that you need more and more to get the same
more
hit.
More and more of those dopamine hits that are so easy, and yet we get frustrated when we don't get what it is that we want, and so it's making us very reactionary as well.
So how would someone realize that they may be addicted to their screen, besides almost getting hit by a taxi?
Besides that, Are your relationships changing? Are you becoming more of a loner? We see a lot of young people who really lock themselves in their room. They don't even want to come out for meals. They no longer accept invitations to be social. That's a really big one.
Oh wow!
Is that suddenly you want to stay home or you want to stay in your office on a device?
So you're isolating.
You're isolating yourself, and
but maybe under the false assumption that you're connecting. Because you're doing a lot of things.
Well, because you're on social media. And if you're on social media, you must, you're social. Right? Wrong.
That's interesting. And so might someone, if someone is complaining to you, get off your phone or you never pay attention to me, I guess that could be a little indicator too.
Can be an indicator. Our behaviors shift in all sorts of areas. It's beyond relationships. It's also how much, how productive are we? Are we falling behind on projects at work? Are we falling behind on projects at home? Are we, are the, whatever our responsibilities are, does it seem that it's harder and harder to
attend to them?
Yes. Attention span decreases.
And so I'm imagining you've met people who suffer from these, I'm imagining as if I might not be one of them, but I'm imagining you've met some of these people, but how does someone get to the place where they want to treat their addiction?
Well, first you've got to really uncover and discover, is it a true addiction? Because again, that's a slippery slope. And if it's truly a addiction, you really need to seek help above and beyond. You need someone such as yourself. You need a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist. There are now camps where kids can go. You know, we hear about this, that in Asia, in parts of Asia, this is something that's just exploding. So many kids are having to go to these camps because they'll play video games for 48 hours straight and they'll they'll wear diapers and they won't eat. And so that's addiction.
That's very intense and life-challenging. I mean, life-threatening is what it sounds like. All right, so we're going to go turn a little bit to the workplace, since that's what Kathy and I specialize in, workplace relationships. And we know that many of our listeners are required to be on screens as a major part of their job, often all day and into the night. What do you suggest for those individuals, Holland?
Sure. Well, let's share some statistics with everyone first. You know, there's a 2019, there is a workplace productivity report. It's the first one, and I find it to be so exciting because over 52% of office professionals are suffering from digital overload. Did we ever imagine? So let's just break that down and look at it. It's smaller numbers. If you have 100 people in your office, 52 of those folks have now admitted, right? And there are always folks who maybe kind of think, oh, it's not me. I don't have digital overload. When if we really spent an hour with them, you and I might realize they, in fact, do. So 52% are aware
that they have it.
And 87% of office professionals say they spend the majority of their day staring
at
screens. And they're saying that that's an average of 7 hours a day. Now, that's staggering, isn't
it? It is. It's not surprising, though, unfortunately.
It's not surprising. So how do we still have best productivity in workplace? And by the way, I want all the listeners to know, we love technology.
We love it.
We love it for the ease and simplicity that it adds to our lives. There are certain tools that we use in the workplace that without those tools, I mean, the day would be longer and it wouldn't be as productive. So we love it. However, we want to also look at optimizing opportunities for the day best way possible by using other tools as well. So I like to say partner with paper. It's easy to remember. So, you know, you can very
partner
often
with paper.
Partner with paper. You can stop your workday. You can kind of come at your workday from a different perspective if you kind of say, okay, where do I go analog and where do I do do digital? Where do I go digital? Because mm-hmm. when we walk into our office in the morning, or if it's a home office, and what's the biggest item on your desk?
Paper?
No, it's your laptop or your desktop, your monitor.
Sure.
And so because that's so big, as you know, it's always there. So it's our focus.
Yeah.
And because we've kind of trained our brains to thinking computers can handle anything,
right.
You know, technology is the answer to everything. And yes, technology is the answer to a lot, but not everything.
So how do you bring paper into the picture? Because I know quite a few people who literally no longer use paper.
Oh, okay. Well, just before, I want all of you that Catherine just shared, you don't use paper anymore. I want you to know that from our workplace productivity report, 62% say that they rely on paper as much as digital devices to get the job done.
Oh, my goodness.
So if that's not you, you might want to reconsider. So we're going to help you with that.
Sure.
So first of all, I want you to think about the beginning of your day, how
yeah.
you start your day. And
mm-hmm.
most people, what do? They turn on that computer and you fall down the rabbit hole in about
yes.
2 minutes.
Yes.
As soon as it's, and my husband laughs at me when I say warmed up, I can warm up the computer. As soon as it's warmed up and all of those emails are there, right? Why?
Yeah.
Because you get a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And unpredictability. Our brains love that. Well, surprise yourself in a different way.
Ah.
Have a really cool, sexy pad or a sexy journal, something that you think, like if
you visually like
yeah,
to look at.
Like I love sparkles. So mine is pink and sparkly and glittery.
Yeah.
Somebody else may say, hey, I'm more in touch with my inner CEO, and they always
yeah.
have a black, cool journal.
Yeah.
Whatever it is for you, whatever
yeah.
excites you, crack open that book first thing in the morning and write down your top three priorities, your top three tasks, your top three goals.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what words you use. It's what resounds and works for your brain.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you
yeah.
for just a moment. So this is what you're saying is, before you go down the rabbit hole of email, jot down those top three priorities.
Yes.
And I guess, and I like that, you know, and I particularly, I'm a paper person. So
me too.
I love writing. I know it uses a different part of my brain. But I think, again, going with what currently I know a lot of people are dealing with is they get up in the morning and open their email.
Yeah.
Right? From the phone, usually, or any other device. So is there an intervention?
Yes, there is.
Do you have a pad of paper by the bed?
There is a morning intervention before we get to our desk, which
uh-huh.
is our morning intervention is all of my clients that I work with. It's a minimum of 30 minutes unless there are folks in the media
yeah.
who that's very different.
They have to see
most
what's going
of us
on.
Are not in the media, and most of us don't have jobs in politics where
yeah.
we really need to see possibly what North Korea was doing the night before.
Right,
so
right.
So again, that's a small fraction of us, okay?
Yeah.
So I know everyone thinks, oh, but I'm
special.
To, right? I'm so important. It's okay. People will wait because they don't know if you're up at 6 or
that's
7
true.
Or 5:30. They don't really know what time you're up.
Right.
So 30 minutes to yourself to gauge your own day.
Okay.
And the reasoning behind that is, once we jump into emails, we are no longer thinking really about what we need to accomplish
yeah.
for the day, what our goals and priorities
yeah.
are. We are already prioritizing Banana Republic's 30% off on pants and things
okay.
like that.
Good. All right. So I want to highlight what you're saying because, again, I think it's, and I totally identify with this. I'm a very responsive person. I think responsive people can literally lose their day in 5 minutes getting on, you know, your phone or doing whatever. So what you're saying is that you need to create this 30-minute window that's actually about kind of checking in, tuning in, focusing your energy, maybe figuring out what your priorities are before you go to your phone.
Correct.
I'm saying phone because I'm assuming that's
yes.
what most people are going
yes.
to.
Yes. Yes. And so for me, that's a paper dump time. I do it's a brain dump.
Brain dump.
And so
yeah, I do morning pages.
Yeah, I grab something and I'm thinking. So that doesn't necessarily have to do with work.
Yeah.
But we wake up sometimes thinking, oh my gosh, my shoes, I needed to get heels on the, oh, and what about, I got to pick up the dry cleaning or, yeah, you know what, should I call? Oh, right. They could deliver it. Did I tell them to deliver it? Right. And we go through all of this and then we're doing that while we think we're multitasking,
right,
and doing a good job going through our phones. So again, if you do that morning pages, morning journaling, brain dump, whatever works for you.
Paper's your partner.
So I've got different. So you know, I've got that I do that dump on, which tends, yeah, to be, you know, grocery list, shopping list, you know, oh, I need to reach out to Catherine, see if she wants to do brunch on Sunday.
Right,
things
right.
like that, that I need to get out of my brain, because if they stay in our brain all day, they're in the way.
Yeah.
So I get rid of all that. And then I start thinking about the three goals that are going to move my business forward,
right,
for that day.
Okay. So I'm going to again say to our listeners, I know that this would be a big challenge for a lot of people. I think it's an interesting challenge. Like, do you ever offer a 30-day challenge?
So what I say, and I have different weeks in the book, mm-hmm, in my book, Consciously Connecting, where it's 7-day challenges. Helping you to build. So what I would invite all of your listeners to do is to just, first of all, I know we've stressed all of you out with not checking into your phones first thing in the morning. Take a deep breath.
Yes.
Center yourself. And then say, you know what, could I do this for 7 days? And
yeah,
what would it feel like?
Yes.
7 days that I will partner with paper. I will really make that commitment. And it doesn't mean, and we're not asking you
to. You can stick with the phone and every other digital device.
Give yourself 30 minutes in the morning to say good morning to the people in your life that you live with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we roll over and forget to say good morning and we get up and we're on these devices. So, you know, check in with the people, the pets in your life and the paper. And then after 30 minutes, get wild and crazy. Pick up your device and do what you need to do. And then when it's time to hit the desk,
yeah,
now we partner with paper again and we have a separate, you know, notebook, journal, whatever
that looks like. Put those three priorities down.
Daily planner. And we put down our three top priorities of what is really moving our project forward, our business forward. And for everyone, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of you out there have your own businesses, some of you for work for other folks. So, you know, what is it that you really need to work on accomplishing today?
That's great. Okay. Now, let's say I'm in the middle of the day and I'm on my screen and I'm feeling digitally overloaded.
Yes.
What can I do?
So we have a couple of different options.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I wanted to ask you, you talked about you're a very responsive, and I think that for many of us, we think responsive, quick response is responsibility.
No.
No?
Okay. I don't. I mean, but that I'm older than a lot of people. I've had enough experience to know that's not really true. I know, and actually I know myself well enough that I know that being responsive has been helpful for the people I work with.
Okay.
Right? But it's not ultimately responsible or productive.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'm very aware of that.
So for your listeners, mm-hmm, because again, we hear these catchphrases,
yeah,
and we automatically think that, okay, we want to do it within 30 seconds. And
right,
you know, when we don't text people back now within, what is it? I don't know, 2 seconds. People are like, where are you? What happened to you? What?
Yeah.
And so again, this is where I use paper, and I use that with not only my three tasks or goals for the day, I also make that list of who do I really need to respond to by day's end, not this moment. Because Catherine, while you're important to me and while this is important to me, if we're scheduling this podcast a week out, I don't really need to respond to you at 9:05.
Right.
Right? This morning.
So you're prioritizing who the importance of immediately or less immediately responding.
Yes. And we
on
get
paper.
Yes. And we get caught up. We think that when we're so busy doing all of this, we've been productive, and busy does not equal productive.
Right.
So again, when we prioritize, you know, again, if we have a week to plan this,
mm-hmm,
if my day works out in a way that I can't get to you today, I don't think you're going to think I'm not responsible or I'm not responding. You're going to understand I had other priorities. Maybe this was a travel day for me and I had a speaking engagement and I was in an airport and then had a 6-hour flight coast to coast. So again, but I know that within the next day or two, this is important to line up the podcast piece. And so that's on my paper. And then I don't have to keep rethinking it, which again, the more we drain out of our brain and having to remember and stay in that same cycle, this actually helps us to be more productive.
Yes. All right. So I'm getting the paper partner thing.
I love
paper. I'm starting to understand
it. I'm old school too. I love paper.
Do you love paper? Yes. So let's say I've got that down. Now what I'm thinking about is my boss.
Okay.
What if I have a boss who is digitally demanding? So, and again, many of our listeners have this, right? Either someone who will text you at all hours of the day or the night, email you at all hours of the day or the night, insist that you're online with them in some fashion at all times. How do I mean, we talk about managing that relationship all the time, but I'm sure you address this when you go into Fortune 500 companies, right? What are some of the suggestions that you can give someone who's dealing with that?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's really important that ground rules have to be established from the beginning. And it's really easy for relationships to morph and change as we are at a company longer, as our relationships develop. And then suddenly, what was a once in a while 10:30 at night text suddenly is a you must be on your text or I'm upset.
Yeah.
So it's really great to go back and look at those boundaries and have open and honest conversations about expectations and what your boundaries are. Because if someone has to be on their device 24/7, 365, there is no well-being and you are going to suffer burnout.
Yeah.
You're going to have digital fatigue and even worse, you'll have a nervous breakdown.
Okay. And actually, this is a really interesting point as well, because I will say in the work we do and when we talk to different audiences, developmentally, people are at different places in being able to set clear boundaries. So for example, a younger professional who's new to the workforce, who maybe isn't clear about what they're allowed to stand up for or not, may have a hard time delineating what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. So I think this is, in these situations, that may be a time then that where you want some guidance, where you may want an executive coach, or you may want the help of a counselor or an advisor or someone, an expert like yourself, about how would I approach one of those conversations. I'm scared, you know, I don't want to lose my job. This is the person who's paying me. So anyway, it's just something I would throw in.
So then I would start with understanding expectations, because then expectations don't require you saying I have boundaries or these could possibly be my boundaries.
Yes.
Can we figure out a way for this to be a better boundary?
Let me get clear on what the expectations are here.
Am I expected to be on my device till midnight every single night, 7 nights a week? Because if I'm getting up at, you know, 5 a.m. and my commute starts at 7 and I'm due in at 8:30, I mean, this is, I don't have a lot,
So I feel exhausted just listening to that.
So when someone shares that and says, that I'd want to be clear.
Yeah.
I would like to understand. I'd like to have, is it okay if we discuss this? To share, and as you know, anytime we say we, it lights up the brain.
Yeah.
And when we say we, it's like giving a group hug. And so when we do that, you're automatically partnering with your, you know, your superior, if you will, you know, the person who's your boss, because now they want to brainstorm this with you.
Yeah. And can we discuss expectations?
Yes.
I just want to make sure I fully understand.
Yes. That I'm clear. And then if someone has an outrageous list, it then becomes a conversation around, would it be possible if Catherine and Nadia maybe tag teamed me, and maybe I could do Monday and Wednesday, Catherine right. could do Tuesday, Friday, Nadia could do Thursday, Saturday, and maybe right. Sunday we could all be off, or we could take a Saturday sabbatical. That you know, again, different people have different Sabbath days. Hey, we're flexible. We'll go yeah. with either or.
Yeah.
But we really do need a day to ditch the devices and reconnect to ourselves and each other.
Great, thank you. All right, I'm going to address this from a generational issue, which I'm sure you're asked all the time. Many of the adults now in the work world grew up with texting. Many of the clients that I see don't, when they say I had a conversation, it has nothing to do with anything but texting.
Nothing face to face.
Exactly. So I'm just curious if that is where we're headed. And if the role of technology is only going to increase, which I imagine it will just increase, how do we hold these two things, the increased presence of technology in every aspect of our lives and the cautionary tale about screen addiction, digital overload? How do we start to navigate that?
What I'm finding, the groups that I speak to and the individuals that I work with is they are welcoming, whether they are Gen X, Gen Y, millennials, it doesn't matter. Everyone is welcoming an alternative to technology. And again, uh-huh. not that they're saying they want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I want to be really, really clear to the listeners. We love technology. Technology is incredibly useful mm-hmm. and valuable. However, we want to be able, you know, think about building a house,
yeah.
right? If you showed up with just a hammer to build a house,
you'd be in big trouble,
right? That house, that's a very bad house. So it's the same. We can't just rely on technology.
And yeah.
so again, when we back up with paper, when we have conversations face to face, we find that when we take a break in the workplace, which was back to what you asked a little while ago when
yes.
you've been staring at the
yes,
screen,
yes, yes.
what do you do for a break?
Take a break.
Well, you get up and you go somewhere in a workplace and I'm like, hey, Catherine, do you want to just take like a 15-minute coffee break? Let's go outside and walk
right.
around. Or we now know that when we doodle,
yeah,
when we actually go off and doodle in a corner, or organizations set up a spot. I worked with Mashable not too long ago, and they were mm-hmm. setting up an area where their employees now can kind of go and have doodle time mm. and colored pens and paper and easels.
That sounds fun.
Right? So for those of you, again, who may be able to shape-shift how,
yeah.
how your corporation or organization, you know, maybe there's an opportunity in meetings to share new cool ideas.
Mm-hmm.
When we doodle, it actually opens up our neural pathways and we are more creative, which then gets us reignited and re-excited and plugged in for the rest of the day.
That is so interesting.
There's research from a psychologist, the name is slipping my mind right now, where when we actually doodle in meetings, so another reason you bring a pad to a meeting instead
yeah.
of your electronics, that when we doodle in a meeting, it actually increases our listening. So they had two
wow.
test groups, those who were doodling and those who weren't, and those that were doodling
heard
had
better.
A higher recall
That's
of what was being said. And so, you know, when you again think about the value of stepping away from technology
yeah.
for 15 or 20 minutes, it's having numerous breaks throughout the day
mm-hmm.
and grabbing a colleague. And if someone isn't available, you know, because you may be working from home, set a timer.
Yeah.
You know, set a timer and commit to yourself and leave a sketch pad and some colored pens
yeah.
in a windowsill with a chair or, you know, somewhere else in your home.
Yeah.
And then take that time, set your timer again for 15 minutes and just give yourself 15 minutes to just play around.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We're not looking for you to be, you know, the next great artist. We're looking to release what you can in your brain
yeah.
to make you more, help you with that creativity and productivity.
I was just thinking that's another potential partnering with paper.
Yes, it is. You're brilliant.
It could also be a whiteboard or something, but
yeah.
And actually, I know of a CEO who created an entire wall or an entire room, conference room, of only whiteboard on the walls,
ugh.
And his, yes, he'd meet with the senior team and he would invite them to doodle for the first 5 minutes of the meeting. And then everyone would sit down and they'd start to talk about whatever the issues were at hand. And he was a former architect. So I think he somehow knew the value of that.
Yes.
But so this is someone who intuitively provided a forum to help people connect with their more creative, productive side.
Well, when you think back to back in the day, some of your listeners will have no clue as to what I'm talking about now, which is those ink blotters that used to be. And then they were calendars on a desk, but they were big ink blotters and they were always done in green, that green, heavy kind of construction paper.
Yes.
When I would visit my dad at work, that was my favorite thing to do, was to go desk to desk and look at what was on all the ink blotters. Some men had poetry. Some had artwork that was, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Other folks had these bullet points of, I'm assuming they were different ideas to maybe present to a client, but I found it so fascinating. And in a way, when you think about all the three items I've just discussed, that's in a way kind of doodling in between or being on a phone call and getting a random idea and then where we can go with it. And so ink blotters, you know, again, have gotten replaced, but that was kind of like a large doodle sketch pad that
paper
was on your desk.
Yes. All right. This has been so valuable. I guess what I want to ask is, do you have any additional messages or things that I haven't asked you about, or things that like seem, when you go into companies, it seems so obvious and yet no one is really addressing them regarding connection in the digital age?
Well, I think maybe if we thought a little bit about meetings for a moment and how unproductive meetings are.
They certainly are.
They certainly are. And so again, we can be so much more productive with meetings if we leave our devices at our desk. I know. I'm letting everyone
scream. That would have to be
silently
a rule. That's right. Well, when we work with partnerships, when we do mediation, that's one of the rules. You can't have your cell phone by your side. Although, of course, we always bend the rules. But generally speaking, I know in some corporations there is that rule. They try to enforce it.
It makes it so much more productive. I want to share again another statistic from the Workplace Productivity Report, which is 62% think digital tools are making their teams unfocused and inefficient in meetings.
Yeah. Right, because they don't have your attention.
They don't. We all know we're doing something else. I mean, we all pretend. And maybe one person in the room really is diligently. You know, I don't want to set it up that people aren't being truthful. But we definitely, if we were honest, we're multitasking.
Yeah.
We're definitely multitasking. And we know that multitasking isn't great. And
no,
so,
it's not really efficient.
You know, it's not real. Right,
yeah.
Because your brain can't be doing two or three things at once.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seems like the bottom line here is how to be more present in a time when our attention is pulled in so many different directions. And you've given us some great tips today about doing that. I'm so grateful, Holland. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
All right, join us the next time for My Crazy Office. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy connecting.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.